The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Check out Virtue, our website for Christian women. Go to harvest.org/virtue.
When a Christian loses a loved one, we grieve, but not hopelessly. We grieve hopefully because we know we will see them again. And that is why the Bible calls the rapture the blessed hope.
Pastor Greg Laurie has good reassurance today about the better day coming. Believers have the promise of eternity in the presence of God and our loved ones.
Your sorrow immediately vanishes and it's replaced with ecstatic joy.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
And we're glad you're joining us today here on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie. And Pastor Greg will begin today's message in just a moment.
Our life is like a movie, and we're the star.
Evangelist Greg Laurie.
We have questions about this movie we're in. Is it a love story? Is this movie a tragedy? What is the meaning of my life?
An online event is coming that can change your life.
We can all use a rush of hope.
Step into a new day.
A rush of hope, the world's first online cinematic harvest crusade. On your favorite social media platform, Labor Day weekend, September 4th through September 7th. Invite a friend to tune in for a message of hope from evangelist Greg Laurie and exclusive performances by Jeremy Camp, Mercy Me, and For King and Country. Fresh of Hope, coming to a screen near you Labor Day weekend. Details at harvest.org. When will this all be over? We're all asking that. Life has been so abnormal, and it's become obvious that normal will be some kind of new normal. But God has a plan for our lives that transcends the here and now. And today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us look at the present in light of our future. Maybe what we see is evidence that God's plan is moving ahead right in front of our eyes. It's the first message in Pastor Greg's new series, End Times, Living Like Jesus Will Return Any Moment.
Is coronavirus a sign of the end times? I heard a story about some Christians who were standing by the side of a road holding up a sign. It was a hand-lettered sign with these words, "The end is near. Turn around before it's too late." Some guy drove by them, hit the brakes, rolled down his window, and he said, "You stupid Christians, why don't you just leave people alone?" Rolled up his window and gunned it. And then a couple of moments passed, and there was a loud splash. And one of the Christians turned to the other and said, "Maybe we should just put up a sign that says, 'Bridge out,' instead." Yeah, you know, there's a lot of signs out there, a lot of warnings out there that are saying one thing, and that one thing is, get ready, because Jesus Christ is coming back again. So let's talk about some signs of the times, Luke chapter 21. And I want to read verses 8 to 11 as Jesus talks about what will happen in the end times. He says, this is in response to the question of the disciples, what will be the signs of the end? And Jesus says, don't let anyone mislead you. Many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Messiah," saying, "The time has come." Don't believe them. So according to Christ, one of the signs of the end times is there will come a world leader and other false prophets who will say, "I am the Messiah." By the way, the prefix anti doesn't just mean against, it also means instead of. Antichrist, the beast, is an alternate version of the Messiah. He's a fake Messiah. Many will come saying, "I am the Messiah." But when you see these wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. Then Christ adds, nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes and famines and plagues in many lands, and terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. Now look, we've always had plagues throughout history. I mentioned the plagues that came against Egypt when he refused to release the people of Israel. There was also the Black Death in the 1300s, also known as the bubonic plague, that took the lives of 200 million people. The Spanish flu in 1918 took the lives of 40 to 50 million people. So basically, the Bible says, when you see these things happen with greater frequency, you should look up. In the span of 40 years, we've had HIV, AIDS, swine flu, Ebola, and now coronavirus. One expert said, quote, the number of new infectious diseases like SARS, HIV, and COVID-19 has increased by nearly fourfold in the past century. Since 1980 alone, the number of outbreaks per year is more than triple. Okay, so these things are coming closer together with greater intensity. So you have two choices at a moment like this in human history. You can look up or you can freak out. Jesus says, when you see these things begin to happen, look up. Look up, for your redemption is drawing near. Next up on the prophetic calendar is the rapture. That's where believers are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we receive our new resurrection bodies. It's also the moment that we will be reunited with loved ones who have died in faith, who have preceded us to heaven. Here's another passage to look at, 1 Thessalonians 4. And we read, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remaining shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What happens to a Christian when they die? They go immediately into the presence of God. The dead in Christ rise first. But when the rapture comes, and that can happen today, it can happen tonight, it can happen tomorrow, we are reunited with our loved ones, and that is when they and we all receive our resurrection bodies, because God is going to give us a new body that's a radically upgraded version of our old one. So question number two, why is there a rapture? Why? Well, Paul talked to these folks here who lived in Thessalonica, and they were stressed out. They were unhappy. They were sad because a number of their loved ones had died, and they thought they would never see them again. So Paul wanted to share this great truth with them. In fact, he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, hey, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who have died so that you grieve as those who have no hope. Notice he says, we don't want you to be uninformed. I bring this up because sometimes people say, no one can figure out Bible prophecy. No one understands it. There's so many different views, so we shouldn't even talk about it. Au contraire. That's French for snails with garlic. No, that's escargot. No, to the contrary, God wants us to know about the end times. Again, Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed. Remember in Matthew 24, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation, let the reader understand. And basically the Bible is saying, hey, understand what is being said. The very word revelation, and that's the title of the last book of the Bible, revelation means the unveiling. Listen, it is not God's desire to conceal, but to reveal. He wants us to know these things. And he doesn't give us Bible prophecy to scare us, but to encourage us, especially if we put our faith in him. So here's what Paul is saying. Look, if you've lost a loved one and they've gone to heaven, you're going to see them again. Just imagine for a moment, you're just going about your daily business, doing whatever it is you do. And suddenly in a moment that happens so quickly, you can't even measure it in time, you're reunited with your loved one again, because the Bible says it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, the twinkling of an eye is something that can't even be measured. The word twinkling comes from the root word atomos. We get our word atom from it. How long does it take for that to happen? Probably about as long as it takes to say the word atomos. It's boom. It's just, you're in the presence of the Lord and you're with your loved ones that have gone before you. Isn't that encouraging? That's why Paul said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Imagine husbands will be reunited with wives and wives with husbands. Children reunited with parents and parents with children. Brothers reunited with brothers and sisters, and everyone will be brought back together again. Friends reunited with friends. Your sorrow immediately vanishes and it's replaced with ecstatic joy. That is why the Bible calls the rapture the blessed hope. So when a Christian loses a loved one, we grieve, but not hopelessly, but rather hopefully. We grieve hopefully because we know we will see them again. And that is a great encouragement.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Whenever you send a letter, an email, or post a comment on social media, we read every word.
I am very blessed to have rediscovered Pastor Greg's teachings. I used to listen to him when I was a state trooper in South Carolina years ago. About 3 months ago, a local station picked up Harvest's messages, and I heard Pastor Greg speak for the first time in 20 years. I about lost my mind. I was so excited. For whatever reason, Pastor Greg has always been able to reach me, and I thank the Lord in heaven he has made it so again. Since then, I have found harvest.org, become a Harvest partner, and have the app on my phone, so I never miss the daily devotionals or any of Pastor Greg's teachings. God is great, and once again, he has shown it to me. Thank you for your inspirational messages and reminding us that God has not abdicated his throne. He has always been there, is there now, and always will be there.
If your life has changed through Pastor Greg's teaching, would you let him know? Just drop him an email at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, we're considering God's plan for our future today. Pastor Greg is giving us a glimpse of the rapture in the midst of our current time of uncertainty.
It's a good thing to think about these things, folks. It's a good thing to just think about heaven, to think about the afterlife. C.S. Lewis, the great professor who taught at Oxford and wrote many significant books, including The Chronicles of Narnia and Mere Christianity, talked a lot about heaven. And he made this statement, and I quote, "A continual looking forward to the eternal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but rather it's one of the things a Christian is meant to do," end quote. Very true. It's good to think about these things. Colossians 3 says, "Set your mind on things above." Or another way to translate it, think heaven. It's a good thing to think about heaven. Look forward to heaven. And by the way, when we talk about things like this, it makes us want to be closer to God. Again, talking about the Lord's imminent return makes us want to be closer to God. It reminds us there is a God and his word can be trusted when we see Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. And over in 1 John 3, it says that he that has this hope, that is the hope of the return of Christ, will purify himself even as God is pure. Let me illustrate. Remember when you were a little kid, maybe you got in trouble with your mom and she said, okay, you're in trouble and you just wait until your father gets home. And so maybe around 6:30, you hear the car pulling into the driveway and the approach of your father and you're filled with dread because he's the authority figure and there might be some discipline involved. So you're not looking forward to your father's return. But let's just say you're a good boy or a good girl and Dad got home, you'd run out to greet him. So I think when we're right with God, we look forward to his return. It keeps us on our toes spiritually. It causes us to want to live godly lives. But if you're not right with the Lord, when you hear that Christ could return at any moment, well, that's quite frightening. Really, a litmus test of where you're at right now in this moment in time is if you're looking forward to the return of Jesus, that would be an indication to me that you are right with God. And if you're dreading the return of Jesus, that would be an indication to me you're not right with God. And I'm going to tell you how to get right with God in a few moments, because you're either going to get right or you're going to get left. And when I say get left, I mean you will not be caught up to meet the Lord in the rapture, but you'll be left behind. Here's another point. When will the Lord return in the rapture? Now this one gets interesting because there's people that come along periodically that say they've cracked the code and they know when Jesus is returning. They know when he will come in the rapture. Let me say something that might surprise you. I know when the second coming is. You say, what? No one knows the day or the hour. Understand, there's a difference between the rapture and the second coming. In the rapture, which could happen at any moment, he comes for his people. In the second coming, he returns with his people. The rapture is before Antichrist and the tribulation. The second coming is at the end of the tribulation. Okay, so here's my point. The second coming will happen after the 7-year reign of Antichrist, after the Battle of Armageddon. So once that happens, you can count it down 7 years. Now that hasn't started yet, so I can't give you a date, but I know in sequence when it will happen. But the rapture, that could happen at any moment. And Jesus says, no man knows the day or the hour. And if you were to go back to the original language and translate that, it would translate out to no man knows the day or the hour. And what it actually means is no man knows the day or the hour. Nobody. So only God knows, and he'll come at the right moment. It could happen at any time, as I've already said, but it is going to happen, and you can count on it, and it's going to be one of the greatest events of all human history. And I want to ask you right now, are you going to be ready for that day? Jesus said, two will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. A man and wife will be asleep in bed and one will be taken and the other left. Which shows it's a global event. A man and wife in bed, they're sleeping, it's nighttime. Two men working in a field, it's daytime. Happens around the world. People are caught up to meet the Lord. You know, one night, Kathy and I, my wife, we're laying in bed. It's okay, we're married. And we're talking about how Jesus could come back. And I said, he could come back at any moment. And Kathy said, just imagine, Greg, we could just be laying here in bed and all of a sudden we're in heaven. And being the prankster that I am, I quietly slipped out of the bed and I got down on the floor. Greg, just imagine, we'd go to heaven together. Greg! And she's reaching, I'm not there, and I'm down on the floor laughing. That's really bad. Don't do that at home. I'm a professional. Idiot. Anyway, I digress. Okay, so it really is a real thing. I'm making a joke about that, but this is no joke, and I wonder if you'll be ready. I mentioned that statement of Christ early on, where he said, a wicked and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to them except that of the prophet Jonah. And as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Interesting, Jesus just validated the story of Jonah. He was a real dude with a real message that resulted in a spiritual awakening in a city known as Nineveh. But he was swallowed by a great fish. By the way, the Bible never says he was swallowed by a whale. Maybe it was a whale. Maybe it was a fish. It can be literally translated sea monster that never existed until the moment it swallowed Jonah. But whatever the case, the story is not about Jonah and a whale. It's a picture of a Christ did. Jesus is effectively saying, you guys want a miracle, right? What, do you want me to pull a rabbit out of a hat? And do you want me to do some trick that will convince you? Here's my sign for you. As Jonah was in the belly of that fish, I'm going to go to a cross and die for the sin of the world and rise again from the dead. That's my sign. That's my miracle. You might say, well, show me a miracle and I'll believe. Show me and I'll believe. Effectively, God says, believe and I'll show you. See, God has demonstrated his love toward you. God has shown how much he loves you by sending his son to die on the cross for you. You know, the Bible says some of us might die for a righteous man, but God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were breaking his commandments, when we were falling short of his standards, God showed love in a tangible way. And as I've often said, it wasn't nails that held Jesus to that cross 2,000 years ago. It was love for you. God loves you. I don't know what you've been told about God, But I'm here to tell you today on the authority of Scripture that God loves you. And he proved his love for you by sending Jesus to die in your place. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Not only does God love you, but he has a wonderful plan for your life. And that plan starts with him forgiving you of all of your sin. And then he has a special plan for how your life will go. And when that day comes, you'll go to meet him in heaven, in the afterlife. But maybe even before you die, the rapture can happen. It could happen in our lifetime. It could happen today. And I ask you, if Christ were to come back again, would you be ready? And don't miss this opportunity to get right with God. I mentioned a couple earlier who wrote me and said that they were living a miserable life and they recommitted their life to the Lord and they were prodigals. And maybe you're a prodigal. What's a prodigal? It's someone that's been raised in the faith and has walked away from it. Or someone that made a profession of faith and turned their back on it. And if you're a prodigal son or daughter, you can come back to Jesus. But there's someone watching me right now who's never asked Christ to come into your life. You've never even heard these things I'm talking about before. But you realize, I need God. I want my sin forgiven. Maybe you've been trying to fill that big hole in your heart with drugs or with booze or with partying or with accomplishments. And you know, the whole COVID-19 thing has sort of revealed how empty all those things are because people can't go out and do all the things they were doing before. And they can't go and hang out in big parties with all of their friends and you're isolated and you're alone and you're scared, but you're not alone because God is there. And Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." Listen to this. The same Jesus who was born in a manger in Bethlehem, who died on a cross outside of Jerusalem. The same Jesus who will come again for his people in the rapture and will return to the earth in the second coming is alive. And he's standing right now at the door of your life saying, "I want to come in." Would you like Jesus to come into your life? Would you like to be forgiven of all of your sin? Would you like to know with certainty that you will go to heaven when you die? Or know for sure that you'll be ready when the Lord comes for us? If so, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me if you want Jesus to come into your life. So if you're someone who's never asked the Lord to come into your heart, or if you're a prodigal son or daughter, do what some 3,000 people have been doing every weekend here at Harvest at Home. Pray this prayer with me. And I'm telling you, on the authority of the Bible, Christ will come into your life right here, right now. If you want Jesus to come into your life, pray this prayer with me. Just pray these words. Pray them out loud if you like. Pray, "Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, but I know that you are the Savior who died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead. I turn from my sin now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for hearing this prayer and answering it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen."
Pastor Greg Laurie, praying with those who are making a decision for Christ today. And if you've made that change, we'd like to help you as you begin to walk with the Lord. We'd like to send you our New Believer's Growth Packet. It's free of charge for those making a first-time commitment to Christ today. Just ask for it as you write "A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. If you missed any of today's study, you can get a replay by going to harvest.org. It's a study titled, "Is Coronavirus a Sign of the End Times?" Download it for later or stream it on demand. To order a CD copy, call 1-800-821-3300. Again, 1-800-821-3300. And then we want to make available a riveting book about a momentous act of heroism that took place during World War II. The author, John Irwin, writes about his own grandfather.
So the morning was April 12th, 1945. My grandfather, radio operator on board a B-29 Super Fortress, disoriented, was trying to understand what had happened because a bomb made of phosphorus that was spewing everywhere on the plane and filled the plane with smoke and sent the plane into a dive was rolling around the plane just in front of him. And he had a choice to make in that moment. The choice that he made would come to be the defining moment of his life and be a moment that would define my life as well as his grandson.
It's a gripping story in the book called Beyond Valor. John's grandfather, Henry Red Irwin, would be awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, our nation's highest military honor. And we're happy to have John with us today. John's a good friend, a film director, having directed I Can Only Imagine, Woodlawn, I Still Believe, and many others. And John, what a thrill to write this book about a story you've known since you were a kid.
You know what's interesting about my grandfather is like when I was 7 years older, I was around that age, and I held the Medal of Honor. And he said over my shoulder, "Freedom isn't free."
Wow.
I had no concept of what he meant.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the times grandparents should know, beyond just loving your grandkids, my mom and dad, I love it. They're the best grandparents, and you know, Beth and I have four kids and 11 to 3. And so grandparents are assets.
Yes.
You know, it's helpful, thank God for them. But you know, beyond just the love and, you know, and boy, do they spoil my kids gladly.
That's our job, John. That's
what
we're called. We're called to spoil and fill them with sugar.
Yeah, they said, well, which gives us a date, which is great. It's a good trade.
Right.
Anyway, you know, I think even though I was not yet in a place to really value and understand his story, those words were still there when I needed them. And I think that if you speak truth to your grandkids in bite-sized snippets, just trust that when the time is right, those seeds will sprout. And that's what happened in my life. And you know, I think I finally, when I was ready to understand what he meant, those memories were there and they came flooding back. And so just trust that even if in the moment, you know, they don't understand, they will later.
Well, we're talking with John Irwin about his brand new book called Beyond Valor, a World War II story of extraordinary heroism, sacrificial love, and a race against time. It's hot off the press, and we'd like to make a copy of this riveting book available to you. We're sending it to say thank you for your investment in making these daily programs available. You know, Pastor Greg dedicates these half hours to teaching believers from the Word and sharing Christ with those who don't yet know the Lord. And your investment helps us reach further and touch more lives. So can we count you in? With your donation right now, we'll be glad to send you this new book, again called Beyond Valor. Just write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org.
Our life is like a movie, and we're the star.
Evangelist Greg Laurie.
We have questions about this movie we're in. Is it a love story? Is this movie a tragedy? What is the meaning of my life?
An online event is coming that can change your life.
We can all use a rush of hope. Step into
a new day. A Rush of Hope, the world's first online cinematic harvest crusade. On your favorite social media platform, Labor Day weekend, September 4th through September 7th. Invite a friend to tune in for a message of hope from evangelist Greg Laurie. And exclusive performances by Jeremy Camp. Mercy Me.
I can only imagine.
And For King and Country. Rush of Hope, coming to a screen near you Labor Day weekend. Details at harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg continues his series, End Times, Living Like Jesus Will Return at Any Moment. Important insights from the pages of Bible prophecy. Next time on A New Beginning.
This is the day.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.